Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Are you ready to move forward in God's word? So grateful, so thankful, so blessed to be a child of God this morning, and grateful for my co-host this morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor. It's just a lovely morning. Beautiful morning.
It is.
I'm good.
It rained and thundered and lightened last night, but we all know that the latter rain cleanses. Hallelujah. God was doing some earth cleaning last night. I just say he was doing some house cleaning. So all we can do is say thank you, Lord, for this crisp new day. It's supposed to rain again today, but we know the rain is God's tears or it's God's cleansing. So we thank God for his grace. We thank him for his mercy. We thank him for his goodness. And we thank him for his kindness. So let us pray this morning as we get ready to open up. Father God in heaven, we pray for our nation. We pray for our countries. We pray, Lord God, that you cover this world with your grace, God, that we learn to love each other in spite of, that we learn to treat each other as we would love to be treated and like to be treated. Father God, I lift up this word where you gave it to me on yesterday, that we got to watch this tongue. That, Lord, we ask you to help us keep our tongues behind our teeth. Let us not speak unless we know what we're talking about. Let us not be hateful and say things that we should not say. Father God, I ask forgiveness for whatever I may have spoken that would have hurt someone's feelings or done something, Lord God, to keep someone from their walk. Father God, I ask forgiveness for anything I may have said or done against your divine majesty. Father God, I lift up all those that are traveling today. I lift up my children that are flying to Puerto Rico this morning, asking you, Lord God, to keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. And those that drive the highways and byways, I ask you, Lord God, cover it as well. And as you cover my children, God, cover all the airways, cover all the highways and byways and trainways, God. And also those that are on the water, cover them as well, God. Cover this planet, God, with your grace. Again, I pray, with your love, with your kindness. As we go into Holy Week, Lord God, we ask you to guide and lead us to be holy, for you are holy, to love each other, to care about each other, to be kind. Father God, I thank you again for another day. And ask you, Lord God, as Mother Valerie and I, go for it, Lord God. Decrease us and increase you. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts, God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength and you are our redeemer. We lift up this word. We give it to you, God, asking you to guide and lead us in it. Give us what to say And if we don't have anything to say, help us to be quiet. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord God, again, saying thank you. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Thank you for loving us more than we love ourselves. Thank you for just being a Father who gives us grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, Mother. I pray that you had a good night's rest and that you are ready to move forward in God's word this morning. And we can say it together. It is a good word. It is a good word. Moses is getting his people prepared. He's given them laws. He's given them statutes. He's given them the things that they must do in order to live righteously in the new kingdom. And so this morning we will be reading the word from today in Deuteronomy 23 through 26. Mother Valerie will be reading, God permitting us time, with life lessons for Deuteronomy 23, 24, and 26. And I will be coming in with our title word as well as, and I'll be coming 39th Psalm as well as the 13th Proverb as well as Luke chapter 5 and chapter 6, God permitting us time. So I will be turning it over to the most awesome woman of God that I know, besides my biological mother, who I love to teach. Shout out to Miss Evelyn this morning. As my kids call her, Grandmama Sissy. So thanking God for her as I thank God for my godmother. So thank you, Mother Valerie, for joining us again this morning. And I turn it over to you.
Good morning. Again, good morning.
Let me present you, Mama. I present to some and introduce to others. Mother Valerie Dale, Minister Valerie Dale, as she goes forth. Mother, it's all yours.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Pastor, you were talking about the rain. Miss Rita, my sister, always said, April showers bring the May flowers. So, really, we do have to have this rain. It's supposed to rain today, but it's supposed to get up to 70 degrees. I'm reading Deuteronomy 23 and 1. He who is emasculated by question or mutilated shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. One of illegitimate birth should not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt, because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor from Pethor, a Mesopotamian, to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God will not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. You shall not seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days forever. You shall not unhorn an Edomite, for he's your brother. You shall not horn an Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land. Children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of the Lord. When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourself from every wicked thing. If there is any unclean among you who becomes unclean by some occurrence in the night, then he shall go inside the camp. He should not come inside the camp, but it shall be when evening comes that he shall wash with water, and when the sun sets, he may come into the camp. God wants everything to be clean and to be holy. That's God. Also, you should have a place outside the camp where you may go out and you should have an instrument among your equipment. And when you sit down outside, you should dig with it, turn, and cover your refuse. And that's what God is saying. Even when you have a bowel movement, you should cover it up because God is holy, and he's in your camp. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp, see, I just said it, therefore your camp shall be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you, turning away from you. God don't want to even see your bowel movement. Cover them up. Cover them up with dirt. Just cover everything up. God is holy. He don't want to see no unclean thing. You should not give back to his master's slave to escape from his master to you. He may dwell with you in your midst in the place which he chooses within one of your gates, where it seems best to him. You should not oppress him. There should be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel or perverted one of the sons of Israel. You should not bring the wedges of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord, your God, or any vile offering. For both of these are an abomination to the Lord, your God. So if this woman is a whore and her money that she makes from being a harlot, God don't even want that kind of money. Isn't that amazing? That's God, because God is holy. And if she's been with other men and made money for sex, he don't even want that money to be offered as an offering. You should not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food or anything that is let out as interest. To say to a foreigner, you may charge interest, but to your brother, you should not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you're entering to possess. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it will be sin to you. When you make a vow to your Lord, it's best that you don't make a vow. I mean, but if you make it, you better pay it. So don't vow to the Lord knowing that you're subject to break it. It says, if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. That which has gone from your lips, you should keep and perform, for you voluntarily vow to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. So if it comes out of your mouth to the God, you better be careful making a vow to God. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your full of grapes at your pleasure, but you should not put any of it in your container. That's something. You may eat as much as you want, but you can't take any of it with you. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the head with your hand, but you should not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. That's something different. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, he writes her a certificate of divorce, put it in her hand, sends her out of his house. When she has departed from his house, goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her, writes her a certificate of divorce, put it in her hand, sends her out of his house. Or if the latter husband dies and took her as his wife, then her former husband, who divorced her, must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. You should not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. When a man has taken a new wife, he should not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. Isn't that beautiful? When people get married, a man should stay with his wife. He should not work, go out to business. I mean, that is so beautiful. And bring happiness, make his wife happy, entertain her for 1 whole year. You know, I didn't know that. That is beautiful. No man should take the Lord or the upper millstone in pledge, for he takes one's living in pledge. If a man is found kidnapping any of his brethren of the children of Israel, mistreat him, fail him, then the kidnapper shall die. Wow. So those are the laws for kidnapping. When you kidnap a person, you shall die. You should put away the evil from among you. Take heed in an outbreak of leprosy that you carefully observe and do according to all that the priests and Levites should teach you, just as I commanded them. So you should be careful to do. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way when you came out of Egypt. When you lent your brother anything, you should not go into his house to get his pledge. You should stand outside. And the man to whom you lend shall bring the pledge out to you. If a man is poor, you should not keep his pledge overnight. You shall in any case return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own garment and bless you. And it shall be righteousness to you before the Lord your God. You should not oppress a hired servant who is poor, needy, whether one of your brothers or one of the aliens who is in your land within your gates. Each day you should give him his wages and not let the sun go down on it, for he's poor. Set his heart on it, need to cry out against it to the Lord, and it be sin to you. Fathers shall not put to death, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. You should not pervert justice due to the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheep in the field, you should not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you should not go over the broth again. It shall be for the stranger and the fatherless and the widow. When you gather the grapes in the vineyard, you should not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. Wow, life lesson. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. Each of us is responsible to God for our own lives. We do not acquire the righteousness of our ancestors, nor must we pay for the sins of our forefathers. God judges each person individually. That's good. So, you know, you can't get to heaven. I'm thinking about going to heaven. You can't get to heaven on your mother's prayer. God judged each person individually. That's what that means to me. Whenever you commit a sin, he judges you. So we have to remember that. Amen. God is just a good God. He's good. He's really, really good. God said, he was saying, it's a commandment. He said, therefore, I command you to do this thing. He's commanding us to do this. Amen and amen again. I'm going into 25. If there is a dispute between men, come to court. The judges may judge them, and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Then it shall be, if the wicked man deserves to be beaten, that the judge will cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence according to his guilt with a certain number of blows. 40 blows he may give him, and no more, lest he should exceed this and beat him with many blows. Above these, and your brother be humiliated in your sight. So, I don't know, they didn't put him in jail. They put him, they gave him 40 blows. And they give him no more than 40 blows. You should not muscle an ox while you tread out the grain. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies, has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as his wife, perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son, which she bears, will proceed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. But if a man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gates of the elders and say, my husband's brother refused to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. The elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and say, I do not want to take her, then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face, and answer and say, so shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him who had his sandal removed. Wow. If two men fight together, the wife of one draws near to rescue her husband from the hand of the one attacking him, puts out her hand and seizes him by his genitals, then you should cut off her hand? That's what he says. Then you should cut off her hand. Your eyes should not pity her. You should not have in your bag different weights. You know what? They said if two men are fighting and the wife comes to help her husband grab the other man's penis, she got to cut off her hand. She cannot help her husband in this. Different things, you know, I didn't know that either. You should not have in your bag different weights, a heavy and a light. You should not have in your house different measures, a large and a small. You should not have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God has given you. For all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously on abomination to the Lord your God, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way, attacked your rear rank, all the strategies, all the straggles at your rear when you were tried, tired, and weary. He did not fear God. Therefore, it shall be when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around in the land which the Lord has given you as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. God saying you shall not forget what he's done to you. Wow. And it shall be when you come into land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it, dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God has given you. Put it in a basket. Go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. You should go to the one who is free and in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand, set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Assyrian about to perish. And he went down to Egypt, dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty. He became a nation, great, mighty. And popular. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord, our God, our Father. Lord, heard our voice, listen to our affliction, our labor, and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with great terror, with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O God, which you, O Lord, have given me, that you should set it before the Lord your God and worship it before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you, and your house, you and the Levite, and the stranger who is among you. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, giving it to the Levite, the stranger, fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you should say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, stranger, fatherless, widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless your people Israel and the land that you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, land flowing with milk and honey. This day the Lord your God commanded you to observe these statutes and judgments. Boy, they're asking God to look down from your holy habitation and bless your people Israel. It said, this day the Lord your God command you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore, you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart, with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, and his voice. Also, the Lord has proclaimed you to be a special people, just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you on high above all nations which he has made, in praise, in name, in honor, that you may be a holy, maybe a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken like blessings. You shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house. Why is this so important to rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you? Rejoicing in God is a powerful way to draw close to him, which is the very reason he created us. I mean, I know I rejoice. I think everybody rejoices in the good things that God has done. I mean, he's telling us to do that, and we do it. For God is good. He's very good.
Yes, he is.
And his mercy always endures forever. God got different commandments that he wants us. He says, I have commanded, like the Ten Commandments, I have commanded you to do this. So when God commands you to do this, he's our Father. He's God of the heavens. He's God of the universe. He's God of the earth. God is God. I mean, when you think of God as being Abba, our Father, he's everything. So if he commands you to do something, it's just like when you command your children to do something, you expect them to do it. If you tell them that they can't go outside to play, they cannot go outside because mama said so, daddy said so.
You better say
so when
it.
God
Amen.
Commanded us to do something, he wants us to do it. May God add a blessing to the hearers of his word. God is so good. I'm going to turn this back
Amen.
Over to Pastor.
Ooh, Martha, that was a great word. You know, we have to listen to what God says. You know, and it tells you, you know, that a person shall be put to death for his own sin. I can't go to heaven for you, can't go to hell, and you can't go to hell for me. You know, it's bottom line, it's that each of us is responsible to God for our own lives. We do not accrue the righteousness of our ancestors. Come on now.
folks think they're going to get to heaven on mama's prayer. All we can do is pray for you. God will save your soul. You know, we can't, you know, it's telling us right now, nor must we pay for the sins of our forebears. God judges each person individually. Bam. Dr. Stanley is phenomenal, and he don't play. He'll tell you all about yourself. Again, a person shall be put to death for his own sin. Back then, you know, folks were dying, you know, because remember the group that didn't want to come up and, you know, the leaders that said, I ain't going. And then what happened? Earth opened up and swallowed them all, them and everything with them. So they kids basically got charged with their sins. You know, we got to be so careful, you know, that we listen and read the word of God. Mother, thank you so much. Great word this morning. And on yesterday, actually, God gave me the word for this morning. And I was waking up from a deep sleep, and I heard the voice of God. And I hadn't even finished reading the lesson on yesterday, but God said, and what came to my mind was, Lord, help me keep my tongue behind my teeth. And that is our word for this morning. Lord, help me keep my tongue behind my teeth. And you will understand where this came from as we go into the 39th Psalm. And it is a psalm from the chief musician to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. And it says that I said I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. What does the word of God tell us? That life and death, the power of death and life is in this little membrane behind our teeth called a tongue. We can kill with it. We can cut with it. We can beat down with it. You know, you don't have to beat somebody down with your hands. You can beat them down with your mouth. Because folks can say some things that hurt. They hurt you. They cut you. And we have to understand the power of this little membrane, what it can do, what it can cause. We can cause all kind of stuff, riots, insurrection, folks losing their mind with our tongue. Pastors can bring people in or knock people out with their tongue. And the message that they are given by God. So God has yet told us in his word, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. We got to guard what comes out of my mouth. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. The wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned when I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as hand's breadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor, Selah. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He keeps up riches and does not know who will gather them. You know, you think about it. Some folks are single, unmarried, by choice. Don't like kids, don't like women, don't like this and that, and have accumulated. Everything revolves around their companies, their jobs, and the stuff that they accumulate. You accumulate all this stuff. Who do you think is going to get it when you die? You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you to hell. And you sure can't take it with you to heaven. All that accumulation means absolutely nothing. All it is for somebody else to have to deal with once you're gone. We got to be very careful. You know, all the accumulation means nothing. And then it tells us in the word, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. And Dr. Stanley tells us, we should always watch carefully how we speak, but we must take special caution when in the presence of unbelievers to be very careful. Because, again, you can bring someone to God as well as send someone away from God. Now, if I'm in church every Sunday, I'm singing in the choir, I'm ushering, I'm over the kitchen, I'm doing all these things for God, I'm even maybe even be a pastor, but I'm using profane language. I'm cussing up a storm when I walk out of church. I'm with unbelievers with a beer in my hand. I got a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. And then I'm talking about all the people in my church. And this is what Dr. Stanley is saying, that we should always watch carefully how we speak. I'm talking negative about my pastor, somebody else. Well, I don't know, she this or he that. Talking negative. But we must take special caution when in the presence of unbelievers. They are watching our walk. They are watching our talk. If we are always negative, they watch that. Well, I don't want to be one of them. All they talk about is negativity. They ain't never positive about anything. I don't want to be a part of them. And then Dr. Stanley says, let us never give them any reason to reject God because of ungodly things we say. You know, there was a pastor not too long ago who got herself in trouble because she was talking about how she was from this place and that place and that cursing sermon because she thought somebody said something wrong to her husband. I was looking at her husband and she just went off. And, of course, everything winds up on the Internet. And all this profane language wound up on the Internet. We've got to be careful how we speak and how we talk. We got to show the love of God in what we say and do. And as we continue in the 39th Psalm, it says this, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Got to pray. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. God will keep our tongue behind us when we need to be quiet. And we got to listen. If God tells you don't speak, don't you speak. If God tells you to be quiet, be quiet. You don't have to give somebody a piece of your mind because I tell you this, you're going to need it one day. Don't give anybody a nerd, last nerd. You're going to need it one day. Don't do it. Keep your tongue behind your teeth. Mamas used to tell us when we was kids, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Good advice.
Amen.
If you don't have something nice to say, if I'm telling it right, Mama, keep your tongue behind your teeth. It's what I'm saying.
Amen.
It's what God gave me. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. And it goes on to say, remove. You know, I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you, Lord. I had that Lord in there. Who did it? Kept my mouth shut. David speaking. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. God will slap you in your mouth and keep talking. Little kids know. Well, I know when I was a kid, I had a little flippant mouth, and I got slapped in my mouth. And I'm sure someone said, oh, that's child abuse. No, it was getting my attention to be quiet. Sometimes we so politically correct these days that, you know, parents can't discipline their children because they're afraid of somebody coming in and taking their children away from them because they just
lost
them. Folks are afraid to do anything because somebody's going to jump in and take over the parenting of their children. We got to stop it. Children need to be disciplined. The Word of God tells us, spare the rod, spoil the child. There are some children that are good that don't need to get spanked. They don't need to be disciplined because they follow the rules. They do what they're asked to do. And there are some children that are just stubborn and won't do anything until you have to get their attention. But that mouth, God slaps us in the mouth. God would close your mouth so quick you won't know what happened. There are folks that got wide shut mouths right now because they were speaking out of turn and they fell or hurt themselves and God shut their mouth. I don't want my mouth shut by God because God's mouth, God's hand is a whole lot harder than my godmother's was when I was talking out of turn. I tell you that. We got to be careful and we got to be able to accept constructive criticism without having to open our mouth and say something we don't need to say. If you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong. And God will send somebody to tell you about yourself.
Amen.
Don't get angry. Say you're right. You are right. And I need help, and I got to get it done. And it goes on to tell us, I am consumed by the blow of your hand. Yeah. When with rebukes, you correct man for iniquity. Bam. God corrects us. You make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. Selah. And when we go to that word in verse 11 of chapter 39, of the 39th Psalm, it says this, light passes with lightning speed. We are on the earth for only a short time. So we must be diligent to live wisely and well. We may appear before God tomorrow, so let us live for him today. Do you take God with you wherever you go? Or do you do you? And sometimes doing us will cause all kind of problems. It will hurt God, and it hurts God to see us walking off the path, getting out of our square and going into darkness. God wants us in the light of his love. He wants us to stay on the lighted path where he is there to guide us. And he wants us to heed his word. Watch what to say. And when you know your mouth is about to get you in trouble, pray, Lord, help me keep my tongue behind my teeth.
Amen.
So I don't speak out of turn. And as we go in today, Proverbs chapter 13, it says, a wise man, a wise son, heeds his father's instruction. God gives us parents for a purpose and a reason. Fathers don't know how important they are. I was watching Disney, Natural History is what we were watching, and we were watching this story on elephants, my grandson and I, and it was talking about elephants are becoming more aggressive toward people. Elephants have good memories. And elephants know poachers. Poachers are human. And National Geographic, God thank you. I knew I was going to get the name. National Geographic. And what happens is elephants are becoming more aggressive towards humans because they have seen humans shoot their elephants.
Wow.
Shoot their babies. Shoot to get the tusk. And the older an elephant is, the longer and more pronounced it weighs. I think it said that each tusk weighs over 100 pounds. So that's like 200 pounds of ivory from one elephant.
And so elephants are becoming more aggressive. But the issue is when you kill off the male dominant alpha elephant, then what happens is these younger male elephants have no one to show them how to behave, and they become aggressive. Their hormones are raging just like our own children, and that they do stuff. You know, you saw elephants attacking other elephants, you know, because they have nobody to teach them right from wrong. And if you watch elephants, you can also see many human traits that when you have young men who have no father figure and they're just out, they have no one guiding them. You know, you have some strong mothers, but you also have some that are not so strong because they're only a few years younger than their kids. And so these kids are like a pack of wild elephants. They just do whatever they want to do and have no moral compass. And it showed this in this documentary. And that's why they have gathered young male elephants and moved them to sanctuaries where there are adult male elephants. And those adult male elephants get those youngsters in order, quick and in a hurry. Because they realize, oh, shoot, we are nothing compared to this old elephant who is going to teach us some things. And they teach them. And that's what we as men and women of God, we've got to teach the young. And God has said in the word, a wise son heeds his father's instructions. But a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Come on now. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. God's word is a today word. That's all I'm saying. A today word. Says the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. A righteous man hates the lion, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. God's going to show up, show out, and show you who people really are. You know, we have this persona. We get caught up in those that are actors and all those people that are in the industry that we don't look at who they are and how they act because they are famous. We get all caught up. Ooh, I love this person or that person. You don't know who they are. And all of a sudden you hear these things that are starting to come out. The rest is that you find out were abusers. You know, folks that are actually mean and nasty. But on screen, they look like they're wonderful. We got to be very careful. Ask God for discernment. But you don't have to go out and vilify either. Keep your tongue behind your teeth. Proverbs 13:3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Loose lips, sink ship. Remember that? For my kids was a popular World War II motto. It reminded people to guard their words so that nothing they said would endanger American troops. Preventing casualties in a spiritual war takes the same kind of caution. Be careful what you're out there saying. Watch your mouth. Watch what you
Amen.
Say. Loose lips, sink ship. Hallelujah. And as we get into our Amen. New Testament word, we are coming out of Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17. This is, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law standing by. They had come to check out what Jesus was going to say, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to kill them. Then behold, men brought on a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in
because of the crowd. They went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tilling into the midst before him, opened up the roof, and brought him down in the midst to Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" But when Jesus received their thoughts, Jesus could read the mind. Come on now. He answered and said to them, and I'm sure they was freaking out. They was probably like, "Oh my, I just thought that. How do you know what I was thinking? Oh, maybe he is the Son of God. Oh, I got to be careful what I'm thinking because he just read my mind." You know, you think that through. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, again, without them speaking, "Why are you reasoning in your heart? Which is easy to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise up and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately, he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." No, you have seen the Son of God, and you know who he is, because you've also read the scriptures. It says, after these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. And we all know about tax collectors. It's tax season. It's tax time. Got to do taxes, got to do this, got to do that, all dealing with the IRS. So you're thinking about it, he's sitting down with the tax collector. And the scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Again, that mouth getting them in trouble. Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come," come on now, Jesus, tell us like it is, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Then they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And he said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will take away from them, will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." Then he spoke a parable to them. "No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wineskin into old wineskin, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Both are preserved, and no one, having drunk old wine, he neither desires new, but he says the old is better." Hallelujah. The old is better. We go to our next word, and actually we're going to do a life lesson for new wineskins, a life example. And it says that technology is an amazing thing. Dr. Stanley is amazing. And, you know, again, I'm not hawking the Bible, but I will tell you, the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year, is the best Bible you could ever have in your biblical arsenal if you are on an assignment to read the Word of God in 1 year. This has been my go-to Bible for last year and this year, and all I can say is thank you, God.
Dr. Stanley breaks everything down so we can understand it. And all I can say is thank you. And it says this technology is an amazing thing. Before the invention of the printing press in 1440, every manuscript was written by hand, a long, painstaking process that would take an enormous amount of time. Still, even after mechanization was applied to the process, the first edition of the Gutenberg Bible took about 3 years to produce from 1452 to start of 1455, and there were only 180 copies. Even so, it was a massive advancement. Think about it. Only 180 copies of the first Bible, the Gutenberg Bible, as far as Bibles that can be printed and given out. And it says, of course, improvements would continue. Over the years, almost 260 years later, the first typewriter appeared on the scene, and a century after that, in 1831, the first electric telegraph emerged. In 1876, Thomas Edison patented the mimeograph, which is the precursor to today's copy machines. That same year, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. And it goes on to tell us that, you know, the phone and the radio and all these things were created. You know, and it talks about John Logie Baird sent the first television signal. And by the late 1970s, home computers and cell phones were making their way into the market. However, it was not until the mid-90s that the World Wide Web was born, connecting the whole world through the Internet. You know, you think about all we've done in these last 100 years, gone from nothing to more than we really need sometimes. You know, when the computers are smarter than you are, when you can be talking, when you can be having a conversation with a friend, and all of a sudden Siri steps in, Alexa joins in on the conversation, and you're like, I wasn't talking to you, Siri, and I wasn't talking to you, Alexa. But they all up in your business and all up in your conversation. My grandson told me that he knew all about elephants because Alexa told him so. I said, oh, Lord, when the phone and the computer is telling your grandkids and telling your children what to do, when you think about you're going on a trip, hey, Siri, I need directions to, and Siri gives you directions to wherever you got to go. We got to understand we have gone way beyond what we could have ever imagined. That's God. And it says, Jesus said, no one puts new wine into old wineskin or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled. And the wineskin will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskin. Both are preserved. What that means is that we can't just keep doing the same old thing. We must do our best as new methods arise to communicate the gospel to as many people as possible. That's Blog Talk Radio, why we do what we do, to communicate the word of God. So I thank you for joining Mother Valerie and myself this morning. We will be in on Sunday, the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, and I will be in Luke chapter 6. So thank you so much, as well as we will have our New and Old Testament Psalm and Proverb. So please join Mother Valerie and I on Palm Sunday as we begin Holy Week on Sunday. Again, thank you all. A word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, before we get out of here this morning. And a word from my sister is this. When life gives you more than you can stand, come on now, kneel. Have a follow God Friday. Lord, help me to keep my tongue behind my teeth, because we want to go on our knees and pray to the Father.
to guide us and lead us and watch him work in your life. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, trying to stay on time. God has given us the hour, and we're going to do the hour. Thank you so much. We'll have some prayers on Sunday as well, God permitting time. Thank you all. God bless you. God keep you. God let his light shine upon you. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, and watch him work in your life. Watch your tongue. Be careful what you speak and who you speak to, because you may be the only Jesus they seek. Thank you so much, family. Have a great day. Mother Valerie, what is it? I believe
it's a wrap. Watch
Thank
your tongue.
You so much,
it's so bad.
That's right. Watch your tongue. Thank you.
Amen.
All. God bless you. Have a great day, Mother. Love
it's
you.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.